Good evening, everyone, and I believe I'd rather preach than do this. Dale mentioned something about being thankful for our heritage. I see it more and more, and I'm just almost shocked to see what's happening in the world today. The young people are growing up around us, don't know nothing about responsibility, nothing about work. They can't do anything. They can't help themselves. I said, what's going to happen? I don't know. I think it's a sad picture because I'm out there every day, go from house to house, and I see a lot of things, and I just shake my head. I said, it's pretty bad. If a man goes ice fishing, before he can fish, he has to break the ice, right? So before I go fishing in the past, I'm going to have to break the ice, okay? So are you ready? A man asked a lady, where are you from? She says, North South Carolina. He looked at her. He said, ma'am, where do you say you're from? She said, from North South Carolina. Well, tell me, where's that? She said, 60 miles southeast of Due West. I thought that was pretty good. So that breaks the ice for me tonight. Ready to go fishing. Okay, I want to say one thing. I want to include God in this, and I want to tell you one thing that God did for me. I was about the end of 21 years old when I decided to turn my life over to God. Well, being a young person in Indiana, Amish young person, my life was anything but good. So I met Rosie and we got married. And after a good period of time, I noticed Rosie was very unhappy. And I said, Rose, are you sorry you married me? And she said, no. I said, well, I noticed you're so unhappy. Are you homesick? And she started crying. So I knew she was homesick. I said, well, let's arrange it and you go home for a week. So that's what we did. She baked a whole bunch of stuff, loaded the refrigerator up so I could make out for a week. Well, when she came back home, I barely touched anything in the refrigerator. And she said, were you sick? I said, no, let me tell you what happened. Now, with my past life, I brought some baggage with me. You know what I'm talking about? That wasn't good. So I had some of that stuff in my desk. So that evening, of course, Rosie was gone, and I said, well, let me go through my baggage a little bit here. And so I sat down at my desk, and there's no one in here who could guess what happened. I sat down, got this stuff out of my drawer, and laid it on the desk. And about that time, I said, oh my goodness. And the walls were coming in just like this here. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to get crushed and smashed here. So I quick grabbed this stuff and put it back in the drawer and shut it. And my Bible was laying on my desk, and I picked it up, walked over to the couch, and knelt down. And that's the first time I offered my personal prayer. It was always out of a book. I was Amish. Well, I always prayed out of a book. And I don't know, has anybody, some of you probably have, heard the Lord's Prayer in Dutch? I'll just say a little bit so you kind of get a picture. I used to say the Lord's Prayer. Onze Vader im Himmel, dein Name werde geheiligt, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe auf Erden im Himmel, so in die Erde. Gib uns Heil, unser täglich Brot, vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie wir unsere Schuld vergeben. Führe uns nicht in die Sonne lesen. But whatever. So that's how I used to pray. That night I knelt and I cried out to God and I said, God, I know this is you, and I surrender everything. So when Rosie came over, she said, why didn't you eat? I said, well, this is what happened. I wasn't hungry. I had other things. And I got rid of what was in the drawer. And a number of other things, habits I had to go. So this is what I want to say about God. That night, I discovered that God knows exactly where we are and exactly what we're doing. He knew I picked this stuff up and laid it out here. He knew where I was, and he seen me do it. And about that time, literally, the walls were coming in, and I knew I had to do something. I wanted to share that as a testimony and to you children and young people and everybody that's here. I learned that night that God knows exactly where I am and exactly what I'm going to do and what I am doing. So take heed. God knows where we're at. Okay, in 1968, January of 1968, 19 below zero, if I remember correctly. Ray would probably remember that. And we had snow on the ground, and we loaded the trucks. And away we went, Ray and Susie and Raymond Schrock and Edna Schrock. We all got in the van with the family, children, and took off for South Carolina. We stopped overnight. We came down the next day. Ray's and us moved into the same house over there close to Dillon Weaver's, back in from Dillon Weaver's, not too far from Calvary. That day, I may not have everything correct, but I'll say it as near as I can remember. That day when we came, we went to Irma. Is Irma here? No? There she is. Okay, we went to her mom and dad's for lunch. You wouldn't remember that, would you? Do what?
I remember when
you
lived together in that house.
Okay. Well, anyway, we went to Wilbur's for lunch that day, and then we went and unloaded the trucks, and we were in South Carolina. We brought our horse and buggies with us. There were four families in Blackville, Amish church, when we three families came. Irma's mom and dad, Abe Weavers,
Sam
Hostellers, and Anna. Is Anna here? No. Anna Kaufman's mom and dad. There were four families here. So we came and there were three of us. So now we had seven families. All these families had chicken houses. They had an income. They used the tractors to travel. They didn't have horse and buggy. But we had horse and buggy. That's the only way we could go. And we had a tough time making a living. And we three got our heads together and said, if this is how they're going to stay Amish, we talked about it and said, if they're going to stay Amish, we're going to have to go back to Indiana or go elsewhere. We cannot survive here. So we called a church meeting. We three families, we called a church meeting, and before we dismissed, we decided to change over to automobiles. So we agreed to ask, if I have it correct, we agreed there, or then maybe later, I'm not sure, to ask Jonas E. Miller from Ohio to come down and help us. So the response was, at one point or other, the church in Williston, there was another Mennonite church in Williston, asked for help, and they felt like they couldn't help at that time or whatever. I'm not sure what happened. So they told us they will send a committee down here if we agree to see if we can put the church in Williston and the Amish church together. And you think that wasn't rough traveling? They were, you know, about like we are, I think, and then we were Amish. So we had to work things out. Anyway, we agreed to go together, and then we had church in the house where Ray's used to live, the Amish church, and we had an Amish preacher. Then when we agreed to go together, we went to Williston Church for services. We then had automobiles, and we could travel. We were there a while, and then we built a church house where Calvary's at now in probably 71. Oh, and I wanted to say this before I forget it. In 1968, when we moved here, and this is, might sound a little not quite true, but I noticed that Gerald, if I may say this, Gerald, I said something to Gerald. Gerald was a pretty little baby the year that we moved here. He was born, we moved in January, and he was born in July. That doesn't quite sound right, does it? Okay, I thought that was kind of, that doesn't sound right. Gerald being a baby when we moved here? What does that say? Junior say that sounds like you're old, right? Anyway, then we as a church, Blackville went to Williston, and then when we built the church in Blackville, we came to Blackville for church. Not all the families came with us. I think Mena Schrock came. And then I should say this also, probably nobody knows about this. There used to be the Tampico, Illinois type people were in Fairfax, had a church down there. Ira Headings was the pastor. I don't know, that probably don't ring a bell. But anyway, Mena Schrock used to be in that church. They came to Williston, and then from Williston, they came with us to Blackville. So now we're in with the Beachy Church. Jonas E. Miller moved down his family to help us. And then in September of 1969, we moved in 68, and then in 69, I was ordained as minister. And then in April of 72, I was ordained as bishop. Then after a little while, and not long after I was ordained bishop, Jonas E. Miller and his family moved back to Ohio and left me there alone. Well, then we ordained Anna Kaufman's dad to the ministry. And then Adley's mom and dad, can you believe they brought you along down here, Adley? They left Ohio and brought Adley along down here. That's amazing. Anyway, you remember moving Adley. You do. And then Eli was ordained, and we accepted his ministry. So now there was four of us. Yeah, we accepted Mena Schrock's ministry. So there was four of us. And then later on, I'd like to tell you this. We had a non-Mennonite couple come to our church, and we accept them as members, and he was a preacher before they came, Mike and Mary Lou Jones. So they were there a little while, and they decided they wanted to go to South America to the Indians as missionaries. So that's where they went. They came back then after a period of time, and he worked at Christian Life Publications. During that time, his wife left him, came back down to South Carolina, and they separated. He got involved. He came back, and then he got involved, and I'm not sure if it wasn't the second lady, I forget. Anyway, he ended up committing suicide. And I think that happened, was it Atlanta, Ray? Enos Heatwalt went to the visitation. I think it was Atlanta. Not sure. Anyway, that was a sad ending. Now, while I bring that to the surface, Mike and Mary Lou, I'd like to tell you this. Rosie and I decided we're going to go visit Mike and Mary Lou in South America. If you're familiar with your map, we flew to Miami, took a plane and flew to Panama. From Panama, we flew across South America over into Georgetown, and then from Georgetown, we went to Trinidad. And wasn't it Georgetown where Jim Jones had that cult, and the governor of California went in there to investigate, and he got shot? I think it was Georgetown or Trinidad, one of those two. We stopped at Georgetown, Trinidad, and then we went to Paramaribo. And that's the city where Mike and Mary Lou were. There we boarded a little private plane. Now this was quite an experience. I'd just like to share this with you. Here we go. Mike and Mary Lou were back in town, and they went with us. Back in the bush. And I mean, we went in the bush. The pilot, I don't know how many times he kept circling around and circling around, looking for the little spot in the bush, in the forest, in the woods, where these Indians were. He's been there before, but it's hard to find it. And we circled. Finally, he spotted them. So here we go. And we went down and landed on a handmade landing strip. And you talk about bouncing when we hit that. We came up and stopped. And when we opened the doors, the Indians all flocked all around the airplane. And Rosie and I still talk about the awfulest this here that you could ever smell. I mean, we didn't know what to say. And the men would wear loincloth, if you know what that is, and the ladies would wear skirts, and that was it. Sight to behold. There we were, back in the bush. Couldn't communicate except with Mike and Mary Lou. Anyway, we ate lunch there and had a wild boar, and it was so tough and cold I couldn't hardly handle it. And we went around and different, we had church back there, and it was something to behold. So now it's time to depart and go home. I mean, go leave from there. So here we get in the airplane, and he goes all the way down, and the runway went like this here. And he went as far back as he could go, and he turned around. And I think if I told Rosie, didn't we have to haul a refrigerator out of there? I think we did. We put a refrigerator back in the plane, and Rosie and I in the second seat there. And here we go. He said, now, hang on. He said, we got to pick up speed to get up. And we hung on up here, and that thing bounced. And I said, we'll never make it. He got off of the ground, and I seen the trees up ahead. I said, we'll never make it. And he just made it. And away we went back into Paramaribo. And the thing that was interesting, Mike and Mary Lou couldn't read no signs, and we could read the signs, like a Baccarat. That was a bakery. We went to a little, how would you say, they had signs up, and it said, Kein Fußgeklappe. Some of you can understand that. It said, no foot stepping. Bushalte, bus station. And we could read these signs. I thought that was pretty interesting. Anyway, then we went back to Panama and stayed there overnight. Then we were on our way to El Salvador. That's in Belize, Doublehead Cabbage. Anyway, we stopped over in Costa Rica, and just a stopover. So Rosie and I decided, well, we're going to go out and stretch a little bit, and we got out of the airplane and walk around. The guy comes, you. Back in the airplane. They didn't allow anybody to get off that didn't go in for reason. So we had to get back in the airplane. Then we went to El Salvador, Belize, Doublehead Cabbage. And one time, I think it was in Belize, they asked me to preach, and I had to preach through an interpreter. That wasn't that easy, but it's quite an experience. And in Salvador, I don't know how they knew, but somebody knew that I barbecued chicken. They said, came to me and said, Jonas, would you consider doing chicken for us tonight? I said, well, we've got to have this and this and this. And he said, well, okay. And guess what they had for charcoal? They told me what time they want to eat, so I told them what time we got to start charcoal. They had wood chips. Well, these wood chips wouldn't burn, wouldn't get hot. We finally brought a fan out and put air on it. It was way late when I finally got the chicken ready to eat. Yeah, that was... So anyway, we came back then, and I had a tremendous trip. I wouldn't exchange it for anything else. We really enjoyed it. We were going for 2 weeks. Okay, coming back. During the time, soon after we were here, and we were Amish yet, we couldn't get around. We had quite a few hospital visits. Arlen got hit by something we'd never hit and run. He was on his bicycle, somebody hit him and knocked him down, and two boys came along and found him. He was unconscious for a week and had a hole depressed in his skull, and they were hoping they could just pop it back out, but they couldn't. They had to go in and cut it out, and so he had a hole in his head for a good while, and then they put a plate in it. Ernie jumped out of a barn hanging on a rope, and the rope broke, come down and broke both of his arms. That was on the dairy where we're raised and elsewhere. And he was in the hospital. Rosie called me one day and said, "Jonas, hurry and come. A nurse gave Ernie an adult overdose of pain medicine or whatever it was, and the doctor says he don't think he's going to make it. So away I go for Orangeburg." Well, he pulled through, and the only reason he did is, of course, God. But the nurse knew, afterwards thought what she did and confessed it. And that's where we learned a lot of people sometimes that die in a hospital and they don't know why, could be a mistake. This nurse came out and she said, "This is what I did." The doctor immediately took whatever, they pumped his stomach out and tried. He said he's just not sure that he'll come through. But he did. So those were some of the hospital visits. So we had to have somebody to take us. We couldn't go with horse and buggy. So we had a black fella in the neighborhood that we would hire to take us around. Well, all at once it came up, friction between the whites and the blacks, segregation to the sharpest point. And we were threatened. We had to quit getting the black man to haul us around. So we got a white fella in Healing Springs, the pickup truck, to haul us around. Anyway, Rosie went to Orangeburg one day, and here she said the National Guard were all over the place with guns. It was bad. You didn't, when you went to the doctor, the whites sat on one side and the black on the other side. Schools were segregated. Restaurants, you didn't go in to eat together. Never use the same restroom. It was rough. It was really serious at that point. But all that leveled out, and I'm thankful for what we have today. Okay. I think that's about all I have to say. Ray, did I miss anything?
Huh? Okay.
Well, I didn't plan to. I told Rosie I just have to skimp over the top. Ray, Raymond, and I took carpenter jobs, what we could find. But we personally had no insurance. We had Arlen had pneumonia one time, went to the hospital, and it was pretty tough there for a while. And we seen we couldn't make it. So anyway, we decided to change over, and that's when we decided to stay. Then we did carpenter work, and then in October of 1972, Ray's were, and us were on a dairy over by Cope, then he sold out, then we went to a dairy between Nisus and Orangeburg. The Saturday that we moved to that dairy, that Sunday I was ordained. So I told our boss man there that I would commit myself to stay for a year. During that year, we built our house where we're at now. Then in October of 72, we moved there, and I went in the plumbing business. So I've been plumbing a few years now. I could say more, but I think, you know, I basically covered most of it. So thanks. God bless you all.
Thank you, Jonas.
Does anybody have any questions you want to ask Jonas? You brought up a few names I had forgot about. Ray. He said he wondered why you came to New Holland. He's not answering that one yet.
Well, I could have said more.
Well, hopefully the Lord brought you to New Holland.
Well, I'm now driving
about
one.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I think we're going to do a quick matter of business before we dismiss the children. That way the teachers are in here and we won't have to try to get them back in.